Listen to the Vibes.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Listen to the Vibes. I'm very happy to welcome Joel Bouchard here. Now, he is a doctoral student in psychology, multi-instrumentalist, record producer, an author, a painter, army veteran, business leader, and a local government official, and a podcast host. Did I get all that right?
Yep. Yeah.
It's quite a mouthful.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So, that's sort of the general overview. Believe it or not, I've got a lot of other hobbies as well that I didn't list that, you know, are just little side projects and things. But long story short is I'm somebody who likes to learn new things, right? Likes to be doing new stuff. And the biggest way that what the umbrella that I feel like all of that falls under is philosophy, you know. So that's what my podcast is about. And that's what I always tell people when they ask, well, what is philosophy, right? Because we don't hear the term much nowadays. And, you know, when I took my first class in community college, I didn't really know what it was, right? Something about dusty books and guys with big beards who are mad at the world, that kind of thing. But it's not. So I always tell people, hey, it's your favorite topic. You just don't know it yet, right? Because we all have philosophies. We all have ideas about the world and how why we believe what we believe. And, you know, that's the most interesting part of being human, right? So that's kind of general overview, right? Is you have all of that stuff, and that's all just a part of the way that I view the world, the way that I engage with it is I like to be curious and explore different topics.
Can you narrow down your philosophy?
Yeah, I can. As a matter of fact, I get asked this every once in a while. People ask me, so what's the core of your philosophy? You had to say one thing, right? And the one thing I always tell them is that my one unchanging value is that I'm always willing to change, right? And I think that that's an important one to have, especially in the current day and age, right? You know, if you are just accepting the things that you think and believe about the world without being able to critically reflect and examine on them, then really you're not, that's not what you believe. You're taking just wholesale what somebody else believes, some story that you've been told, right? So I always like to think that I'm always willing to change, right? If you can present me new evidence, or if you can show me something new, or if I can investigate it, I have absolutely no problems admitting that I'm wrong, right? I love to fail, which is part of loving to learn new things, right? The early stages of learning something new is just constant failure. And that's something that you reframe your reference of, right? You start to think of failure as the ability to learn lessons and the ability to become adept at some things. So yeah, that's the core of my philosophy is I always want to be open to change, which is the same as being open to growing.
This interest in philosophy, is that what led you to get into psychology?
Yeah, more or less. So I went to community college and got my associate's degree. And then I applied to a four-year school and saw the tuition bill and said, I guess I'm not going because I don't want to take out student loans. And a few years went by and I'd always thought about joining the Army when I was younger. And I thought, okay, well, if I want to go to college and I've thought about joining the Army, those two things kind of go hand in hand. So I joined the Army Reserves and I've been going to college ever since, right? So they, you know, that's one of the great benefits of the Army is that they make education so cheap. So I've got degrees in criminal justice and interdisciplinary studies and education, and now I'm going for psychology. So I couldn't find a degree in philosophy that could be discounted. So psychology, I feel like, is the next closest thing, you know, on trying to understand how the brain works and how people think. So
did being in the Army kind of change the way you view the world?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think that that can be true of any experience if you reflect on it hard enough. But, you know, the Army for sure, because it's such a drastic experience and it's so different from what most people experience on a regular basis. From the training environment, you know, the thing that's so interesting about it is you can go from just intense boredom to intense action in a, just on the flip of a switch, right? And, you know, the entire experience of being dressed the same way as everybody else and having the same haircut as everybody else and, you know, all the different expectations. But there's a lot of philosophy that happens in the Army, too. You know, where I found myself hanging out a lot was in the smoke pit, because even though I don't smoke cigarettes, that's where all the interesting conversations happened, right? And people are out there talking about God and talking about time and stuff, you know. So I always like to sneak in there and try to listen to some conversations and get some words in edgewise. But no, it's definitely a you know, a formative experience in becoming an adult was being in the Army for sure.
Don't ever tell them that you're bored in the Army, because they'll find the most mundane task. Actually saw a guy cleaning the sidewalk in the rain with a water hose. So yeah, they'll make you do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and there's a good chance he wasn't just bored. He probably did something to deserve that punishment. So I don't know what it was, but yeah, he had that coming to him, I'm sure.
All right, well, let's talk about your music, man. You do record producing on top of playing music?
Yeah, so most of it is most of it's my own stuff. So I'm in my recording studio right now. I play bass, drums, guitar, along with, we were talking about earlier in the back there, I got ukulele, mandolin, and a little dulcimer, and keyboard. So I write the music, I record all the pieces separately, sing over them, I do the production work, and then I put them out online. So I think I've got five albums out right now, and a couple EPs, a couple singles, that sort of thing. So I've done a couple albums for different people, a couple singles for different people as well. So yeah.
Right. And an author. Okay, so tell me about, did you write a book?
Yes, so I just finished my first fantasy novel. So it's not published yet. It will be this summer. So when it is, I'll have more shows going into that. But and then me and my co-host for my podcast are working on a philosophy book. So yeah, so a couple things. Nothing's published yet, but it's one's finished, one's pretty well along in the works, along with some shorter stuff. So
wow. Well, philosophy will definitely help mold a book.
Yeah. 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 It's, the novel, sort of came out of, you know, it's another one of those things. You always want to write a book. And then, we were on the podcast, we'd been talking about the hero's journey, you know, Campbell's, Hero with a Thousand Faces, this idea that, every story that's told by humans follows a certain path, a certain number of steps, you know? And I thought, okay, well, that's cool. It would be interesting to try to follow that pattern, but also at each step, try to twist something and see how much you could twist it and still have a good story. So that's what I tried to do in my novel. And honestly, that's what I try to do with all of my art. And I think that's what makes good art, right? Is trying to find that balance between what's catchy, what's popular, what people like, but also what's different, what's on the cutting edge, what's a little bit out in left field, right? Because if you have something that's too catchy, too popular, whatever, it's just boring. People know what to expect. There's nothing interesting there. But if you're too experimental, people just go, I don't know what this is. You know, what is this? So it's always trying to find that line. And that's where creative endeavors can be so difficult to get right. You know, it's, if you've never engaged in a creative pursuit, it's sort of hard to understand what the difficulty is. But I think it basically boils down to walking that line between what can keep people interested and what also keeps them on their toes.
Now, I'd really love to see your painting. After hearing all this stuff, I imagine it's pretty interesting in itself.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think I have any close at hand. But yeah, I've done a couple different things. I like doing landscape stuff, of pictures that I've taken. So, you know, take some pictures, and then usually I'll put it through some filters on my phone, kind of make it a little bit strange, and then go ahead and paint an interpretation of it. I have the most recent one I did. I've got a kind of a blue cat with some kaleidoscopic eyes, sort of coming out of it's not super abstract. It's not like Picasso or anything, but just kind of something that's a little bit quirky. But
when you take something like that, and you've taken a picture, you're adding more to it, or you're writing a book, you're adding different layers to that. When you're doing a painting and you're making some abstraction to it, you are going beyond. You're expanding on this. So now you talk about that you're a business leader. So I can imagine you don't just settle for the, okay, I'm going into business, this is what I'm doing, that's it. You're multi-layering that as well.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Yeah, and business is notorious for being kind of the opposite of everything that I've talked about so far, right? You don't want to fail in business. You want to have some sort of consistency, some kind of, things that remain the same. And so, and I think that there's beneficial elements to that, right? When it comes to product and process, you want to make sure you have that stuff right. But I think when it comes to people, you do want to maintain some of those creative things, right? Because I think that a lot of interpersonal interactions, success in those realms revolves around sort of the ability to creatively anticipate what another person's frame of mind is, whether it's a customer or an employee or a coworker, any of those people. And I think it even goes beyond empathy, right? Because empathy is the ability to put somebody, put yourself in somebody's shoes and kind of understand their emotions and that sort of thing. But, in business, it can go beyond that depending on the situation, right? It depends on if I have a confrontation between two coworkers or, a customer who is, we're trying to close a sale with, or a vendor that is underperforming, or whatever the case is. You have to go that step of understanding their perspective, but then you also have to integrate it within, the different levels of the business and the different departments and all the different personalities in order to try to come up with a solution that works, And I think that I've had a lot of success with, particularly with employees, right? I think that's where a lot of management fails is, not understanding the employee's perspective or underestimating how much the employees need to know to be invested in a company. You go, oh, well, all this stuff's above their head. They don't need to know that kind of stuff. Well, when you're asking them to do something, then just saying, well, do it because I told you to, it's not as motivating as being able to tell them, oh, okay, well, this is the reason that we do it this way. And if you have a better suggestion, you do this all day. So let me know and we'll review it and we'll try to implement it to make the place better, trying to have some buy-in. But Yeah. So it's a difficult line to walk, right? Because you do, and that's the advantage of being a cross-disciplinary person, somebody who's involved in a lot of stuff, is being able to draw on different aspects of your life and say, okay, what things do apply here that I can use? And what things should I steer clear from? Because this is a different animal from what I've done before, And I think the more things you know, the better you get at sort of making those judgments.
Whenever I'd fill out a job application, and sometimes they'd ask you about your hobbies and things like that. Now I kind of know why they do that. They want to see if you're a one-dimensional or you're, multi-dimensional type of person. So I could see someone backing you if you were starting a new business, because you're more than just on the surface. You're everywhere.
Yeah. And even within the business, that's helped. When I started where I currently work, I started at the very bottom. Right. And so I'm just making parts on a press, but I'm a naturally curious person. So I'd start asking about other parts. I go, hey, what does that part do? How do you make that? And they go, oh, you want to learn it? And so pretty soon I knew every part on the floor. And then they said, oh, well, you know, every part on the floor, let's make you the second shift supervisor. Oh, okay. Well, let's make you the production planner and the inventory control guy. Oh, okay. Well, let's make you the production manager. Right. You know, so it's, I think that, you know, it's important, and business is sort of a microcosm of life, right? How do you get to the top? Do you get to the top by just constantly obsessing about wanting to be at the top? No, you have to be genuinely interested in what's going on, and you have to actually want to put in the work and want to put in the understanding and have some ambition in that sort of way. And then you'll find yourself there, right? You know, and I think that life is a similar way. You know, if you think about, well, what do you want out of life? Oh, well, I want to be rich, or I want to be famous, or I want to be these things, and that's all you think about. Well, that's not a way to live a happy, fulfilling life, right? You have to be engaged with what you're doing every day in the moment that you're doing it, you know. And what you'll find is that some of those things that you thought were mundane or you were trying to skip, that's what constitutes your life, right? Your life is made up of these little moments. So you have to sort of take each one of them and make the most out of it.
Now, whenever I was a supervisor, and when I would get a new employee in my office, I'd sit down and tell them, you know, look, you go learn everything that you can. When you got a little more downtime, you go to your crew leader, ask him to show you how to run a backhoe, how to do this, how to do that. And the reason being is once that crew leader gets to move up, well, you might get to move right into that spot. And I would also emphasize to the crew leaders, teach your guys something. Don't be scared that somebody's going to take your job. You go out there, you teach them what you know how to do, and then I'll be confident enough to say, okay, I can move you up, and then I can move them into your spot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because that's the cycle you want to see, is a supervisor who's training the people under him well enough. Because if the department under him's acting well, then you know that he has the ability to move up, and that there's going to be somebody to move up into his position. You know, that's a mistake that I've made early in my career, right? Was, I mean, you know, they promoted me to a manager at McDonald's when I was 17. So I've been in charge of people for a long time, right? But at the beginning, it was always self-reliance, you know. Well, I can't trust anybody else to do anything, so I'm just going to do it myself, right? And then I'll know it's done right. But the problem is then you're just surrounded by incompetence. So is your supervisor going to say, okay, I'm going to put you to the next level, but who's going to take your spot? Or, yeah, sure, your department's running fine, but I see you running around like a chicken with your head cut off and everybody else is incompetent. So what does that say about you as a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tricky thing.
So on top of all that, you've gotten into local government?
Yeah. And so this is a good sort of demonstration of what we were just talking about, right? Doing a bunch of stuff, and I've got the podcast, Philosophy Podcast, and somehow the mayor of our little village ended up listening to it. And I met him a couple times at a Christmas party and somewhere else, but, you know, probably under an hour of FaceTime total. And he ended up saying, hey, you mind meeting me down at the coffee shop and so we can talk? I go, yeah, sure. You know, cause this happens quite a bit. People hear ideas and then they want to have philosophical discussions, right? Like I said, it's everybody's favorite topic. They just don't know it yet. So I get down there and we start talking about stuff. We start talking about local government and having a good back and forth. And then he goes, you know, hey, we've got an opening for a village trustee, you know, and it's normally an elected position, but we've had somebody step down. And so I have the authority to appoint somebody. And I've been listening to, you know, you talk about deep ideas on your show. And you know, I get the feeling that you're somebody that, you know, thinks deeply and critically about things and self-reflects. And I think you'd be a good addition to, you know, the local government. So I said, all right, I'll give it a shot, you know? And it was encouraging because, you know, not once did he ask me about my politics, you know, what my political affiliation was, none of that. He said, hey, listen, you know, at the local level, we're just about getting the job done, right? Making sure that we're serving the community, making sure that we're doing things good. Nobody cares what anybody else's affiliation is. And I go, man, if only it was that way all the way up through, right? We just want to get the job done. We just want to serve the public and make things work. You know, how much better off would we be? But yeah, so that's the little story is, yeah, you go around, you start doing the things, you be curious about stuff. You learn new things. You enjoy the things that you do. And people will notice you for it. And they'll end up, you'll end up getting opportunities that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Sure. So I know you've got a lot on your plate, but have you thought about being a life coach or a business coach?
Yeah, I have thought about it. I love my job, and so it's great. But one of the things I like about it is that it's stimulating, right? I do a lot of physical work, I do a lot of intellectual work. There's a lot of interpersonal stuff, so it's very balanced. I go, yeah, maybe someday when I'm a little bit too old to do some of the physical stuff, I'll retire a little bit early. And then as the part-time gig, I can either, teach some college classes part-time, or I can do some life coaching, So that's sort of my, it's kind of my retirement plan is looking into some of these side things and seeing if it's a good opportunity.
But if you were forced to choose only one thing, what would it be?
Ooh, man. Yeah. I think it would be philosophy because in philosophy, you can do all of the things that I do abstractly, right? So I can think about music and I can go, well, what makes a good song, right? What makes a good guitar solo? What makes a good thing? And so you can spend hours thinking about it. And, I think that even though that's not as valuable as actually going out and writing a song and actually going out and playing, writing a guitar solo, it still provides, some intellectual stimulation and some insight through rationale into the workings of the universe, right? Whatever it is that you decide to focus your attention on, you can't gather data the way you would with science or with hands-on experience, but at least you can come to some kind of understanding about how pretty much anything works,
What's been the biggest hurdle in your life?
Yeah, it's when I look around at my life now, I find it hard to think that I've ever encountered any kind of real struggle, right? I feel like I've lived a pretty charmed life, like things are pretty great, but I know that's a trick of psychology, right? Learning psychology, what you discover is that your brain will always reflect on negative experiences as being less negative than they were, and that's a coping mechanism, right? In order to get over the past, it downplays the negative aspects of experiences in all cases, except PTSD or some of these things that are traumatic in a severe way, but. I don't know as far as a hurdle, but I think the sum of that has to do with goal setting, right? I think that if people have a certain goal in mind and they're going after it and they achieve it, then they can look back and see what was holding them back that they overcame. And that's not, my life hasn't really unfolded according to that narrative, right? I guess I've just gone through my life and I've just always done the things that I wanted to do. So as long as you're doing the thing that you want to do, the obstacles and the struggles that come up don't really present themselves as this negative thing you overcame. They more present themselves as, kind of interesting problems to be solved, kind of fun things to work through. And so all of a sudden it doesn't seem as bad, And so, like I said, you get real used to failing, right? I got a 3D printer over here and I'm always messing around with it and it's always breaking and I'm always replacing parts and stuff. And so if it was something where I wanted to become a professional 3D printer, I could get real frustrated and I could really worry about, becoming perfect at it. But since it's just a hobby, when something breaks, I go, huh, okay, well, how does this thing work? How do I put it back together? There's no pressure really. So I haven't really felt a whole lot of pressure or stress in my life because I've sort of organized it and designed it in such a way that the things I'm doing have always been sort of intrinsically enjoyable and fulfilling. So it's just always been fun, you know? So I know I've regrets and mistakes that I've made, but as far as obstacles, I don't really think of it that way.
A lot of older folks wish they had a time machine to go back and change things in their life, but it sounds to me like you probably wouldn't do that, would you?
No, you know, like I said, I have regrets, and I think anybody who says they don't have regrets has not really reflected on their life, right?
Right.
But at the same time, I think that we have to accept that that's part of life. That's part of being a human, right? Is you're going to make mistakes, you're going to screw up. But it doesn't necessarily have to be something you wallow in, and it doesn't have to be the end of the story, right? A quote I like is, "You haven't failed until you stop failing," right? So you can screw up, you can do nothing but screw up, but as long as you're still trying, then there's the possibility that you will get it one day. The only time that you've actually failed is when you've stopped trying at all. So, yeah, you know, sure, there's things that I wish I had done different, that I wish had turned out different. But by and large, you know, like I said earlier, time is your one resource, the only thing you really have. So what you're doing in the moment and your experiences, you have to look at all of those as learning experiences and as important parts of growing as a person, you know.
You've heard of Formula 409, right?
Yeah.
You know why it's called Formula 409?
That's probably one where it took them 408 tries to get it right, right?
Yep, sure was. So don't stop, you know, just keep going. All right, real quick, tell us a little bit more about the podcast, because I know you've mentioned it here and there, but, you know, tell us about more about what it's about and when and where people can listen to it.
Sure. Yeah, so it's called From Nowhere to Nothing. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. And it's a philosophy podcast, and usually our normal sort of layout is we look at one or two words generally. So it can be big things like God and time, but we've also done stuff like Disney princesses or entertainment franchise reboots, right? Just trying to demonstrate to listeners that you know, like we were saying, anything can be philosophical, and anybody can be a philosopher. So, you know, we'll take one or two words, we'll look at formative thought, you know, how philosophers have thought about things throughout history. We'll sort of have a discussion among ourselves about what we believe it means, how we make sense of what's been said in the past. And we'll ask speculative questions about what it means for humanity, what it means for the future, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's the overview. From Nowhere to Nothing, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Do you have a website?
No, not really. I'm the world's worst marketer, so I don't really have a whole lot.
Now, see, you've just knocked everything down that I built up for you.
Yeah. I get that a lot, and it's embarrassing. Someday I should get it all put together. The problem is, like, I don't do any of it for a living, right? And I don't really want to. I don't want to put that pressure on it of I need to make money doing it. But it's just all for fun. So, yeah, if you want to listen to my music, you can just Google my name. You can find a lot of stuff that way. But, yeah, as far as the marketing stuff goes, I'm not really on top of it.
What kind of music do you play?
I call it, like, it's like psychedelic alternative rock.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And what about your social media?
Yeah, if you Google me, you can find me. From Nowhere to Nothing has a Facebook page. My music has a Facebook page under my name. So I'm out there. Again, it's pretty small following. I don't do any advertising or anything like that, but you can find it if you look.
Well, I will put all your links in the description to make it easy for folks to find you. But Joel, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
And I also want to thank all you folks out there. If you are new to the channel, I hope you'll come back. Please hit that subscribe button for my regulars. You guys are awesome because you make it possible for me to do this. And until the next one, everyone, please take care. Be kind to one another. God bless and peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Listen to the Vibes. You can catch us on Buzzsprout or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook at The Vibes Broadcast Network